Well, tonight we have a special treat. Our very own Cheryl Trzynski is coming up talking about Grace Manor and all God's done in it. And I was going to say some things about what all God has done, but I'm not going to steal that from you. So if you're ready, let's go ahead and welcome up Cheryl Trzynski.
Oh, there we go. Okay, first of all, I have to take off my shoes because honestly, I feel like we're on holy ground. God is in this place, and for that I rejoice. Okay. If I get through this, it'll be a miracle. But isn't God the God of miracles? And He is able when we are not. Do we have a slideshow? Oh, there it is. All right. First of all, Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Just like Ricky, just like Grace Manor, just like everything that we face, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And I am standing on His promises tonight, because I have found Him to be faithful in my life time and time and time again. Okay, slide number 3. You may know some of these people. So we started out in 2023, and many of you have heard me say this, I didn't want to do food. I prayed really hard, God, please don't let it be food. It's food. So we started out borrowing the church, Grace Meadows van, and the trailer, and we went to 3 different locations, and we brought a lunch for each child that showed up. They had to eat the lunch on site, period. I'm like, what about the family that came with them? What about the family that's at home? It didn't make sense to me. It wasn't enough, because the families get just as hungry as the kids. Next slide. So Deanna and I were having a conversation one day, and he said, you know what? We need a school bus. 2 weeks later, we had a school bus. That school bus is our first mobile food pantry. Now, you may have grocery lists that are being passed out to you. Look at those lists. So when people come to the mobile food pantry, they fill out their grocery list, and I'll talk more about that later. So we found out that with the mobile food pantry, we'd go to Second Harvest, we'd try to put all the food in the school bus, then we'd go distribute it. We were exhausted by the end of that adventure. So we prayed, and I happened to be at Second Harvest one day and ran into our program director, and I said, Layla, we need a truck. We need a big truck. She said, tell me all about it. Write me a quick little grant, get it in the mail to me, email. 3 days later, we had $45,000, and we bought our Ford F-750. And the glory of it is, I can drive it. Be afraid, be very afraid. Not only that, but it has a lift gate, so we don't have to climb all the way up into the truck, and we're able to distribute food from the truck as well as the bus. We take all of the extra food with us when we distribute. which now we're doing on Tuesdays. And if for some reason we can't take the bus because we don't have a bus driver, we can still take the truck and still be mobile and still feed people. So it's really opened up a whole new avenue of service for us. And then we have this little Nissan Frontier. It's really my truck, but it gets used for Grace Manor all the time, so it's part of the fleet. And we started out with a van and a trailer borrowed. Less than 3 years later, this is what God has provided. He is a good, good God. So, okay, next. So what do we do? People ask me that all the time. What do? You feed people? We do a little bit more than that. And again, because we are mobile, we can go where the need is the greatest. And I'm reminded frequently, Jesus didn't have a home. He went to where the need was. He was in the trenches. He was in the caves. He was in the synagogue. He was where people needed his touch. So we helped with disaster relief. The day after Helene, we were down near Jackson Bridge, and we were trying to do the best we can to help folks down in that area. Next. We also pass out clothing. People, you know, we have a God that has a sense of humor. He knows the need before it's spoken. And oftentimes people say, can you use this, or what about that? And I'm like, well, I haven't heard of a need yet, but yeah, we'll take it. So we started out with just a small space collecting things. We now have two storage units full of stuff. So if anybody needs anything, let me know. We probably have it. So we try to meet the need of the people that we serve. And it's not always food. Food is usually the easiest thing to recognize, but there's deeper things going on. Vivian had a chat with a gal we met yesterday. We were at Jonesboro Elementary School. She teaches at Jonesboro Elementary School. She was walking by, and she had a young boy with her. And you could just tell there was something going on with her. And Vivian started conversation, as Vivian often does. Come to find out, she had just left the hospital where her daughter had a heart attack. The boy with her had been through 4 foster homes in the last 2 weeks, and she had 10 minutes to determine whether or not she was going to take this child in, and she said yes. She wasn't prepared, especially for... She was an older woman, and he wanted certain things for food, and the money hadn't come through and her paycheck. And so Vivian said, we're here. What is it you need? And again, that's where the grocery list comes in. But this little boy had his bag, and he went down the outside of the bus with his bag, and he's putting in Frosted Flakes and granola bars and Goldfish and everything else he could find that he liked. So she was so appreciative. And it just, for that one moment, if she was the only person that showed up that day, we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. And I thank God for that. Okay, next. So, we have a lot of community partners, people that we work with. Milligan College, their OT department, comes and volunteers with us. Ashley Academy has come out and done some things with us. JAMA. So, we had established 13 pantries, food pantries in local schools. JAMA decided they were going to take over Jonesboro Elementary School and Davy Crockett High School. So they saw the need, and they were willing to step up and meet that need, which thrills me to no end. We work with Renaissance Bank very closely, Praying Pelican Missions, Heidi's House of Hope, Eden Methodist Church, Ballad Health, Grace Meadows. We're in the process of working with Revive on a project. And so when people come to us, we also try to meet, again, the needs that they have. It's not just food. It's not just clothing. So we have energy assistance information that we share. We have dental care for people over 65. And my sister was very helpful yesterday. We had a lot of leftover produce, and it just won't last until next week in this heat. So all this produce got put in her car, and she distributed it to three other organizations. So we try to do what we can, where we can. Next. And heaven forbid we don't have Christmas for people. So the year before, we worked with a lot of people in Bluff City, and Gail and her crew came out and did a magnificent job wrapping presents for people. We were going to do the same thing this year, but with Hurricane Helene, there was just such an influx of bounty for kids that we didn't do our normal Christmas thing. However, we were able to take a lot of things over to Davy Crockett High School and make sure students there had what they needed. Next. I know a lot of you laugh at me, but we do something called Turkey Tossing Tuesday. And the first year, does anybody know who that is? He'll kill me for that, but he looks so good. Anyway, the first year we did Turkey Tossing Tuesday, we had 60 families. This past year, we did 217 families. So not only did they get their complete Thanksgiving meal, they got groceries for a week, they got a hot meal, they got new coats, they got water and cleaning supplies, and Tom Foster brought his truck over, and the news was there, and we rented a truck because we had so much stuff. It was a blast. So this year, when you hear about our third annual Turkey Tossing Tuesday, come on down. It's a lot of fun. And yes, we do toss turkeys. Okay. Next. So you can see by the look on our volunteer faces that it's just a miserable thing. Nobody has any fun. And one of the things that you need to know is we are a totally volunteer-run program. Nobody gets a penny because God is faithful. He has blessed us with volunteers from the youngest. So Josh, Peggy and Ed's grandson, usually drives the bus, and he has a daughter, Daphine, and she's about yay high. And Daphine will often be on the bus pulling cans to help mom put them in the bag so we can distribute the food. So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your skill set is. Come and be part. And if you don't like people, we've got things for you to do. Okay, because, you know, we're all about the people. All right, so we've changed our schedule for the summer. So the first Tuesday of every month, we're at Jonesboro Elementary School. The second Tuesday, we're at Bluff City. The third Thursday, we're at Daniel Boone High School, and we just partnered with Eden Methodist Church, and we're going to be on their new property down on Route 107, the fourth Tuesday of the month. We're really excited about this partnership. I have to tell you that we see a lot of the same families every time we're at a specific location. They come, we know them by name, we've prayed for them, we've laughed with them, we've cried with them. And I've shared with a lot of people, this is church. These people may never walk through the doors of this church. They may never walk through the doors of any church, but it's church. And when I talked to Mitzi and Keith, I think, from Eden Methodist Church, they got it. They want to be the voice of Jesus when we serve. And we've talked to Revive about this, so we're still in the process, but we're hoping that we can distribute food, Revive can bring a meal and physically feed them, and then Eden Methodist Church will do praise and worship. So we're working on doing that once a month. We're excited. Next. Okay, so because we have so many things in the works, yes, we feed people, but we also have provided opportunities for people to learn new skills. So we have been gifted some property, and we've created Alleluia Acres. And on Alleluia Acres, Alleluia, because whose favorite word was Alleluia? Anyway, we have Alleluia Apiary, which is our beehives. We have Alleluia Community Garden, and we have the Alleluia House. And I'll talk about those as we get to those. So again, if you don't like people and you have some skill sets and you want to be involved in gardening or electric work or, you know, we can find something for you to do. And we need a lot of prayer cover because they gave me the job of talking about this thing. So, you know, we could end up anywhere. Okay, next. So again, if you look at some of these pictures, you can tell people really don't like to be about God's work. And you can see there's age doesn't matter, skill set doesn't matter, whether you come for an hour or a whole day. But I have to tell you, if you come a third time, you're addicted and you may need mental health care. So, and it doesn't matter what it is you're doing, because not only are you serving, but you're being served. I've had volunteers in tears thanking us for giving them the opportunity to be about God's business. And they said, we get blessed more than you'll ever know. And again, it's people like this teacher. I can give you story after story after story of how our volunteers met a need right there, right in that moment. And it not only changed the individual's life who was being served, but it changed the volunteer's life. So we try to have fun. And I was told that people like numbers. I'm not a numbers person, I'm a people person. Numbers, it's like a different language for me. Next. But I put some numbers together. So we have established 13 in-school food pantries. That means we've gone into the Washington school system, Washington County school system. We've brought our program coordinator from Second Harvest, and she has put her stamp of approval on these food pantries. So we fill the food pantries, which allows the kids in the school access to food every single day of the week, as often as they need it. And they can take food home for their families. The newest one is at Providence Academy. We just got the approval on that one. Since January 1st of this year, we have served over 600 students through the school food pantries, many of them multiple times. As I mentioned, JAM adopted Jonesboro Elementary School and Crockett. So we're serving Topper Academy, Boone, Asbury School, Boone's Creek Elementary, Gray Elementary, Sulphur Springs, Ridgeview, South Central, Fall Branch, and Midway. We've also established 4 clothes closets in these schools, which also has personal hygiene items. Next. Okay, so for the food pantry, this is a separate program from the in-school pantries. Since January 1st, we have served over 2,700 individuals numerous times. That's how many people have come to the bus. We've served folks from 11 Tennessee counties and 2 Virginia counties. When we're in Bluff City, we do have families that come over from Virginia. 47% are kids aged 1 through 17. Almost half the people we serve are kids. On average, 5 tons of food is distributed through the mobile food pantry every month. Our cost is approximately $2,200 a month for that food, which equates to about 22 cents a pound. Folks shop by grocery list, and if you look at the grocery lists, 2 weeks ago, I took that grocery list and I went to the store and I wrote down the price of what was on our grocery list, and people receive approximately $160 worth of food a week. It's life-changing for these families. All right, next. So again, this is our summer schedule. We're not sure when we're going to be down at Eden Methodist Church. That's going to depend on if we're definitely going to do the meal and what that is going to look like, but we're excited about that. And again, I pray, and God must get tired of hearing me because it's like, God, please, not this, please, please. And I really didn't want to be in Johnson City because there's a lot of services in Johnson City, but we ended up at Topper Academy. And our program director from Second Harvest requested that not only set up the food pantry in the school, but be on site. Well, that lasted a couple of months, and we were asked to not serve the public at that location. And I understand all the reasons, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, you closed the door on Johnson City. Now we can go somewhere else. Yes. And then I talked to the folks at Eden, and God, so we're a tent, and God takes our tent stakes, and he keeps pushing them out further and further and further. So now we're from Bluff City all the way down to 107, but this is an area that really needs assistance. As you know, we've built houses down there. This was a devastated area, a very low-income area before the hurricane hit. So I'm really excited to be able to get down there and really be a consistent presence. All right. So next, you have your grocery lists. Feel free to look at them. There's 2 sides. If you just come to the food pantry, you can sign up for receiving USDA food. That is a volunteer program that's income-based. People do have to declare their income. Like I said, it's voluntary. They don't have to sign up if they don't want to. But the other side is groceries anybody can get. I am not the food police. If you show up, you have a need. The last thing anybody wants to do is stand in line to get food. And I am not going to put people through the ringer. So we serve with a smile and sometimes a little dance. Don't look at our Facebook page. It's kind of funny. Anyway, it's Vivian's fault. Next, everybody's going to go look now. So this is our Alleluia Garden. And it's a community garden. It's 28 by 36 feet. We worked with Praying Pelican Missions. They came up. We worked with a group of kids. God bless these kids. Some of them never swung a hammer. But you know what? They did a great job. They really did a great, great job. Next. So the garden is an educational tool. Everything in the garden has been planted, companion plantings. Each bed is different. We have the straw bale gardens, which is another way of planting. We have the raised beds. And we've had two people come and actually check out our gardens and go, oh, we want to do that. I said, we can help you. Heidi's House of Hope, they have 47 acres over on West Watauga. They are very interested in what we're doing with this garden, and they want us to come over and do gardens on their property when they get to that point. So we're excited. If this can work, and we know it will, we can replicate it. All right, next. All right, you might have heard a story. I will not confirm or deny, but I have this thing for power tools. So Peggy and I decided it would be a really good idea to build a top frame beehive. And we had the best time with those power tools. It was great. So from our first hive, next, we now have 12 hives. And this has been in the last year. So when Dan and I were in Connecticut, we heard about a program called Hives for Heroes, and it was through the Veterans Association. And I shared that with Peggy when I got down here, and she was thrilled. So she has a mentor that is a veteran, and he has given her a lot of input, but I have to say she has done a marvelous job. She's a bee whisperer, let me tell you. And she's in the path. This property is in the path. Ed, what have you had, like 8 swarms that you've caught? How many? 11 swarms that have landed on their property that they've scooped up and put in a hive. So that's how we get all these bees. And so we've also got one mentoree. She's a little gal who needs some help starting her apiary. So again, we're able to work with her. Now, the importance of bees, without bees, you can't grow food because you need the pollination. So we have the bees very close to the garden. And again, the more we can educate people as to the importance of growing your own food, how to grow your own food, how to preserve your food, it's just going to make them stronger in the long run. And the bees are part of our toolbox for that. Next. And now we have the Alleluia House. So the premise behind the Alleluia House is this is going to be classroom. Because the gardens are so close, we want to be able to teach people how to prepare food. Oftentimes we have food that we distribute from the bus and people go, what do you do with this? For example, hominy. People like, what do we do with hominy? So we made a hominy soup, but we also made a casserole and we passed it out and we said, this is the food we used from the bus, this is how you make it, and enjoy it. So now we're trying to work with garbanzo beans, and all I can think of is hummus, but we'll come up with something. So with this, I'm sorry? I know, right? Plus we have all the fresh herbs in the garden, just mix it all up. So with this kitchen, we can prepare food and bring it with us and really give people an understanding of what can be made with food that may be unusual to them, unfamiliar to them, but we make it easy. We also want, and I'm looking at you, I need a wet room in this house. So we may have to talk about that. I need a wet room. And my grandmother was a preacher's wife. And I can remember growing up that once a week she'd get together with women in the church, kids, and they would just meet together. They'd study God's word. The older women would teach the younger women. They'd knit, they'd crochet, they'd kibitz. But it was all about being together and sharing and doing life together. I've had one group meet out here already. Wait till you see the next picture. We were just sitting around, but We had lunch, we had conversation, we talked about the Lord. And I think we need to do that as Christians. We need to encourage one another. We need to be in community with one another. All right, next. So there's the interior. We do have the bathroom framed in. We're running it on solar power right now, and it's working marvelously. All right, next. So if any of you are interested in what's going on at Alleluia Acres, if you want to see it, touch it, feel it, next Thursday, the 12th, feel free to come out. We're at 154 Budbaugh Road, Peggy and Ed's. And we'd love to show you around because we know that God has great things. This isn't what I thought. I thought I'd be on a 30-acre campus. And God had other plans, and I'm okay with that because his plan is better than my plan, and I don't have this big piece of property that I have to worry about right now. So, you know, if this works, then God will prepare us for the next step, and I'm great with that. All right, next and last slide. So let me share this with you. How can you be involved with Grace Manor? Like I said, you don't have to be hands-on, but we covet your prayers. We cannot move forward. We can do nothing without God's umbrella. We seek his face. We want to be his hands and feet. We want to touch people for his honor and glory. This isn't about us. This is about God's work. Trust me, at 69 years old, I did not think I would be doing food. But I am, and I'm okay with that. So Monday mornings, we're at Second Harvest picking up food. Tuesdays, we distribute food. So we're also looking for an electrician for the Alleluia House, a plumber for the Alleluia House, mentors for kiddos and teens. Now, we've also are going to be starting a project probably in August. ETSU has food that they prepare in the cafeterias, and each day they have leftover food. So I've been in conversation with people at Second Harvest. They would like us to pick up that food, and Rise Up is in need of food. God knew the need before it was even spoken. So prayerfully, we'll be able to pick up the food from ETSU, bring it over to Rise Up, and they can feed their kids hot meals every day. So we're working on that. So there may be an opportunity to pick up food from ETSU and bring it over to Rise Up. And again, come and visit, walk through the gardens, talk to the bees, rock on the front porch, and look around and see what God has done. But just remember, this is because of you. Because we were recipients of a June offering. And I can tell you, we still have over $50,000 in the bank because God is faithful. He is faithful. When you are doing the things that he asks you to do, you can't outgive God, and his supply is sufficient. So today, let me encourage you. Allow God to refresh you and restore you. Lives are being changed through this ministry, and we invite you to be part of that radical change, not only for the people that we serve, but for you. Thank you for listening to me. I didn't keep you until tomorrow mornings. I could have. But again, feel free to ask questions and just thank you. Thank you for having hearts to give. Thank you that this is a church that is so mission-minded. Truly, you are making an impact for the kingdom, and I rejoice in that. So, thank you.